Welcome, everybody, to the 2017 debut of KickServeRadio.com, Tennis on Air with Andy Zoden. I couldn't be more excited than to be starting out the year the way we are today with the great Dennis Ralston. He was inducted into the International Tennis Hall of Fame in 1987. He's a three-time U.S. Open doubles champion, a legendary U.S. Davis Cup figure, an NCAA champion from the University of Southern California. Dennis, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me here at the new year for a fun little edition of KickServeRadio.com.
Hi, Andy. It's nice to talk with you, and looking forward to coming up to Colorado in a couple of weeks for the Colorado Tennis Hall of Fame, which I'm getting inducted into, which I know you know, because you're running it.
Well, I don't know if I'm running it, but I'll be up on stage along with the beautiful Christine Chang as the co-MCs, and we'll obviously be very honored to be sharing the stage with you that night, and I want to talk a little bit more about that, but first things first, I want to go way back. Dennis, I want to go back to 1966 when you make your one and only appearance in a Wimbledon men's singles final. You play the legendary Spaniard Manolo Santana. Things didn't work out so great for you that day, but I got to believe just being in that final that day had to be a pretty special moment for you and your career.
Well, it certainly was. I still remember that whole deal quite a bit. And, you know, you look back on some of the matches that you think you could have done something different. And Santana was a very fine player and a U.S. Open champion as well. But I'd beaten him 2 weeks earlier in Queens and pretty easily. And I was pretty confident that I was going to win. But one of the things I tried to learn as a player that helped me as a coach was, you know, where did I have some failures? And one of them was getting, you know, I didn't get up enough. I was sort of like in awe of the whole circumstance. And, you know, I look back that I just wasn't really up. I mean, it sounds crazy, but I was just kind of out there. And, but it helped me later on in coaching. One year when I coached Roscoe Tanner, he played Borg in the finals, the first Wimbledon back here on television, NBC, and played a heck of a match. And I told Roscoe that. I said, listen, Roscoe, you made the finals, but you got to go full blast every point, 110%, and you can win this thing. And he was within like 2 inches of winning it on a break point in the fifth, and he played an unbelievable match. So, you know, it helped me in that sense. So I guess it all works out how it's supposed to.
Well, and you talk about how things change so drastically. Things at Wimbledon would change the following year. And that's one of the points that I wanted to get to is that in 1967, things would change drastically at Wimbledon. They would change their view on how they would treat professional tennis players. And you had just turned pro along with the Handsome Eight, the legendary group of players that would really take professional tennis and put it on their backs and lead it into, you know, the future and obviously into where we are today. Talk about what happened in 1967 that would change tennis forever.
Well, 1967, Wimbledon decided to host a professional tennis event. And in those days, there were two camps. There was the professional players, which were about anywhere from 8 to 16 guys that traveled around and played all different places. And then there was the amateur game, which played all the slams, all the ITFs, the federations. They controlled the amateur game. So Jack Kramer really started the pro tennis. Some people call it the traveling circus or the barnstormers or whatever. And, you know, he traveled. He had matches with Hode and Gonzalez playing 100 matches over a season and one-night stands. And so everybody was trying to get all the players to play. The greatest players were the guys that were the pros. And I turned pro in 1966, in the middle of 1966. And so I was one of the 8 guys that was invited to play at Wimbledon in 67. This was in, like, August. This was after the normal Wimbledon championships, which were all amateurs. So we had Kenny Rosewall, Rod Laver, Pancho Gonzalez, Andres Cimino, Butch Buchholz, myself, and Fred Stolle from Australia. They organized to have a tournament at Wimbledon, which was a huge thing because Wimbledon was always against open tennis. And so Herman David was the chairman of the All England Club, and so he took a chance and had this tournament scheduled, 8-man tournament at Wimbledon on the center court, and the place was sold out. And so he realized that the game needed to get all the best players together, and that was a huge step in open tennis coming in 1968. So it was quite an event, and of course we were just happy to play at Wimbledon again because we figured we'd never play there again. So it was quite a fun deal to do.
So 50 years later now, Dennis, 2017, you're invited to participate in something at Wimbledon that commemorates that. And I know you're very excited to go there and very honored and touched by the gesture on Wimbledon and the All England Lawn and Tennis Club's part. Talk about that.
Well, the ATL or All Lawn Tennis, whatever they're initials are, the British Tennis Association always does things very well. That's why Wimbledon was my favorite tournament to play. And so they invited the eight guys or their spouses, because Lou Hodes passed away and Pancho Gonzalez also. But they invited the original eight guys that played that tournament to come back this year in 2017. And they're going to recognize us, and we're going to sit in the Royal Box on the quarterfinal day. And so it's a heck of an honor and a heck of a deal for them to do that. And they're paying for everything, which is even better. So I haven't been back to Wimbledon in quite a while, and it'll be fun to go. And they recognize those things, which a lot of other associations don't, as far as the history of the game.
Well, we're excited that you're going to not only be going to Wimbledon to commemorate that in 2017, but as you said at the top of the segment, we're going to have you here in Denver, Colorado on January 20th for your induction into the Colorado Tennis Hall of Fame. Dennis, talk about the time spent here at the Broadmoor and just your time in Colorado and how special that was to you in your career. I know it was very special to those of us here in Colorado.
Well, we had a great run at the Broadmoor, and actually I played my first one of my first Davis Cup matches at Cherry Hills in 1963. And that was really my first kind of visit to Colorado, and we played against Venezuela, and it was the start of our basically a 5-month journey to win the Davis Cup in 63. We started in Denver, and then we went to England, and then we went to Israel, and then we went to Tehran, and then we went to India. We played India in India, and then on to Australia. So it was kind of the kickoff, and I had never really realized how much you needed to not have any extra fluids that had alcohol in them until I went to Denver, and after we won the first three matches, I figured I wasn't going to play. And so I went to the party, had a party that night, and the Davis Cup captain, Bob Keller, found out that I went to the party, which I didn't think was anything wrong, but he also found out that I was up quite late. And so I got a call at 8:00 in the morning on Sunday morning, and he said, "You're playing the first match at 11:00. And I tell you what, I played this guy, Eo Pimentel, who was just a complete lefty grinder and tough competitor. And I won the first set 18-16, and it was hot, and I was dying, and I had a couple more beers than I should have, and boy, I remember that, and I obviously didn't want to lose, so it was an eye opener, and it woke me up for a lot of reasons, so I never had that issue again. But then we moved to Colorado in 1991 and to work at the Broadmoor, and it was a great experience living in Colorado Springs. We loved it. It was the Broadmoor, obviously, is an unbelievable hotel, and they keep making it better and better. And so I really enjoyed our time there, and my wife Linda did. We loved the mountains, and we had a good junior program there. Becky Varnum Bukalo was probably our best player out of the Colorado Springs, and I know she's a Colorado native now,
actually she moved away, believe it or not. We lost Becky moved out to the East Coast a while back.
Did she really?
But she did get inducted into the Colorado Tennis Hall of Fame before she went, so she had a great run here as well. And she, who knows, maybe she'll come back for your induction. I know Karen Brandner will be there, who's done a fabulous job at the Broadmoor since you've left town, and I know you trained her up pretty well.
Well, it was interesting how Karen and I teamed up, and she actually was living in Europe and at a ski resort. Then she came back. Her family's from Colorado Springs, and one day she came by. And Karen really was it probably did more than anybody to help make the Broadmoor so such a great place. Because, I mean, she's dedicated, she's smart, she works hard, and she really helped me a ton. And I'm glad she's doing so well there. And I'm looking forward to seeing Karen and some of the people from Colorado Springs, I think, are coming up. So that's John Fielding, who I hired. He's been there forever. Well, not forever, but for a while. So it's going to be a fun couple of days up there, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Dennis, we're looking forward to it as well. Before I let you go today, I told you that I wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on in the men's game now. And one of the player and coaching relationships that we've now seen come and go over the past few years was the one between Novak Djokovic and Boris Becker. And over a three-year period, those guys had quite a good run, with Novak becoming the clear-cut number one player in the world until the very end of 2016, but he wins six majors with Becker at his side. What did you make of that coaching relationship, and what do you think it's going to take for Novak to reclaim his number one ranking in 2017 and to be able to wrestle that back away from Andy Murray?
Well, I think having been a coach at that level and, you know, coaching those elite players is it's a real challenge. I know Djokovic is original guy that he had as one of his first coaches was a guy named Dušan Vemić, who's a guy from Serbia who is on the national coaching team. And I helped Dušan for a couple of years when he was playing the circuit. And I said, Dušan, how'd you get that gig with Djokovic? And he said, well, when I was the number one player in Serbia, this young kid walked up to me and he said, could I have your autograph? And so he said, I signed my autograph. And he said, that was Djokovic when he was about 12. And so Djokovic never forgot that and hired Dušan to help him. And I think there's a lot we don't know. I mean, Djokovic didn't look so good at the end of the year playing. And obviously Murray was working hard and getting better. Murray had Lendl helping him. And, you know, you never know what's going on in the background of that. And usually when a guy runs into a string of losses or something, the coach is usually the one that gets the axe. And maybe with Becker, they had just had a long time of time together and decided to take another venture. But it's going to be interesting to see. The guy I think is going to really do well next year is De Potro. I think his if he can stay healthy and his great Davis Cup comeback and win and how well he did his first year back. And I hope he does well. I really respect what that guy's done. You know, as far as the Americans, you know, I don't really see anybody making a huge move. Jack Sock is probably our youngest good player, and Isner's always going to be a threat with that serve, but I hope Del Potro does well. The women's side, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see if Serena can hang in there. I think she's probably getting pretty tired of doing all the hard work, but we'll have to wait and see.
Should be real interesting, and the guy that sort of defied that logic all these years has been Roger Federer. You would think if anybody would have had every reason to become complacent in his older years on the tour, it would have been that guy, but we haven't seen that yet. Do you think we've still due to see some great tennis from Federer?
I think so. I think, you know, the guy's has been an unbelievable ambassador for our game and for the game of all over the world, and he's a class act, and I hope he does well. It's going to be an interesting Davis Cup match between Switzerland and the U.S., the first round. And if he plays, I think Federer will do well. I think he's had a layoff, and he loves the competition. And I think I'd like to see him win one more slam. I hope he does.
I think he's a crowd favorite wherever he goes. Final point. Dennis, you make the comment that, you know, Jack Sock and Isner are these guys that are certainly on any given Sunday. I guess they've got the firepower to hurt anybody, but sometimes they've got enough maybe just to kind of hurt themselves. But overall, do you like what you're seeing from Martin Blackman? It seems like since he's taken over as a director of USTA player development, we've seen sort of an overall uptick in the level of American players as a group. We haven't seen that guy jump through that we feel like is going to be able to maybe dent a draw to the point where he shows up on the final weekend of a major. But I think as a whole, we're seeing a lot of good young players coming up.
I think you're right. I mean, it's I think he's working at it a lot more than the previous director did, and has a lot more interest in, and it's more of a full-time position for him. And, you know, it goes in cycles too. And all the years I've been in the game, I mean, you know, no one complained when we had Courier and Sampras and Chang and that group of players. And no one complained when we had Connors and, you know, but every time we're not winning everything, people say, what's wrong with American tennis on the men's side? And, you know, we've been winning on the women's side for a long time. And if Serena bows out, then the comments will come, what's the matter with American women's tennis? So that's what I've seen in the 70 years or so I've been in the game. And it's just, I guess, human nature. You know, if you're not winning everything, well, why aren't you? And so I think there'll be somebody coming out of our programs, you know, that's going to challenge for those majors, and hopefully it'll be next year.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. It's going to be an exciting year for Dennis Ralston, no matter how you slice it. You'll be in Denver to be inducted into the Colorado Tennis Hall of Fame January 20th at the Denver Marriott Tech Center, and that event will benefit the Colorado Youth Tennis Foundation, so we're obviously all very excited about that. Then you'll be at Wimbledon to commemorate the 50-year anniversary of Wimbledon opening its doors to professional tennis. Dennis, you're a legend and a gentleman, and somebody that has helped make American tennis what it is today and to make it great. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time to be able to spend with you, and I look forward to sharing the stage with you, as I mentioned before, the night of January 20th.
All right, Andy, well, it's been fun talking with you, and I'm looking forward to coming in just a couple weeks.